What's up, family? You are tuned into Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. From KPFA Radio and the Pacifica Network, I'm your host, Kat Brooks.
The Handala has launched from Gallipoli, beginning its final leg of its journey to break the blockade. Here to discuss is Hawaida Arafin, who's going to correct me if I said their name inaccurately, an American activist and lawyer who co-founded the International Solidarity Movement, ISM, a Palestinian-led organization using nonviolent protests and international pressure to support Palestinians. She is currently working with the Freedom Flotilla in an effort to break the Israeli blockage on humanitarian aid for Palestinians. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Good to have you. Do you want to correct me on the pronunciation of your name?
No, you did fine on my name. I might correct you on the pronunciation of the Italian port we were at. It's Gallipoli.
Gallipoli. Thank you. I'm more concerned about your name, but thank you, because I'd like to say things accurately. Before we get into our interview, I'm going to play a cut from Voices that are on the flotilla right now. Kirsten, let's roll that tape.
We believe that if it was not a meddling, then the Handala, if it's not the Handala, the next mission that will be bigger will break the siege of Gaza. Because a regime that depends on starving children to death and bombing hospitals, schools, shelters, and residential areas to stay on top of people cannot survive.
The Freedom Flotilla is attempting to do what is necessary in this moment for the children of Gaza, which states and countries around the world have utterly and completely failed to do for over 21 months now, to end a famine and to stop a genocide.
Those were the voices of activist Thiago Avila and Dr. Yiping Ji from the Freedom Flotilla, and credit that I'm supposed to give is to Al Jazeera. I think we should actually start with who the Handala is named after.
That is a good place to start. Handala is a 10-year-old cartoon created by Palestinian artist Najil Ali in 1969. He is a 10-year-old refugee boy, is in ragged clothes, is barefoot, and he has his back turned to the world. His arms are crossed behind his back, and he is meant to reflect Najil Ali at the age he was when him and his family were forced out of Palestine. And so Handala represents those children and the Palestinian people, but especially the children who have been forced out of their homeland, who are refugees, who are waiting for the day that they can go home. And they say that that Handala will not turn around. You never see his face. He has his back turned to the world because the world has turned its back on Palestine. And we say he has his back turned to injustice, and he won't turn around until the day that Palestinian refugees can go home. And so we and the Freedom Flotilla Coalition are working towards that day.
I just really want to quickly just acknowledge the cartoonist Najil Ali, that he actually introduced this type of political cartoonism into the Arab world, and then was later assassinated, likely for the work that he was doing. And I just always want to lift up the name of our freedom fighters that are martyred. Who's on the Handala right now?
We have 21 civilians. I'm speaking to you from aboard the Handala right now. Yes, and so we're in the middle of the Mediterranean, and if you hear some things crashing, it's because the seas are a little rough and the boat is really rocking at this time. But with me are 20 amazing individuals from various countries. The majority of us, well, not the majority, we have a third of us who are actually American citizens. But then we have an elderly grandma from Norway. We have French engineers. We have a French nurse. We have two parliamentarians, a member of the French Parliament and a member of the European Parliament. Amongst the American citizens that we have Chris Smalls, who is known for his work that he does organizing labor in the United States. He founded the first Amazon labor union. We have Jacob Berger, who's a Jewish American actor and comedian. He has a large platform on social media, just very varied. We have a very talented artist and digital creator, media expert who does a lot of our media on board, actually sitting right next to me. If you just look at well, first of all, we are average civilians. It's like, you know, we are not some, you know, high powered, I don't know what that should be doing. It's just like our government should be doing, institutions, the head of institutions that talk about, you know, either protecting human rights or delivering humanitarian aid. We have all of those, and mostly our own governments that talk a decent game, right, about respecting human rights, but that are actually complicit or are participants in Israel's genocide and ethnic cleansing. And what we see right now is a deliberately engineered starvation campaign. And when I say that about organizations also, it's not that organizations don't try to do good work, but we have a situation where it has been accepted that this country, Israel, that is actually on trial for genocide. Not only do you have the foremost genocide and Holocaust scholars in the world and legal scholars that have said this is a genocide, textbook genocide, but you have the International Court of Justice that is adjudicating a case against Israel for genocide. So you have this country on trial for genocide that is being allowed to determine, to dictate, to completely control what, if any, aid is allowed to get to a people that is actively exterminating. And that is outrageous. That is not something that anybody should accept. And we know that our governments, first and foremost, the United States, is a full participant in this, because Israel could not be doing this if it wasn't for the constant flow of not only arms and U.S. money, but also diplomatic protection and support for Israel. But then when you look at the organizations that, you know, they issue statements or they try to send their humanitarian aid trucks. We have thousands of aid trucks lined up at the border with Egypt and awaiting permission from Israel, waiting for Israel to open. Mm-hmm. I think we also need to be engaged in this form of collective direct action, rejecting any kind of control that Israel asserts over Gaza. Israel's blockade, it needs to be clear, it's a blockade, it's a siege, is illegal. It's not only illegal today, it wasn't only illegal on when it was, you know, after October 7th, it was illegal when it was first imposed in 2006, because Gaza is occupied by Israel. Israel technically, legally has a responsibility for the health and well-being of the people that it occupied. Not only did it never fulfill that responsibility, but on top of that, it has consistently, deliberately, systematically imposed policies designed to make the people suffer. And the blockade was one of them. So it was a form of collective punishment, which is a war crime, unquestionably. In 2010, a UN, an independent commission, declared Israel's blockade illegal, not only because it is collective punishment and a war crime, but also because it was, even as a military tactic, it was having a much more, much higher disproportionate effect, or disproportionate harm on the civilians, on the civilian population than on the military. This makes any kind of military action disproportional and therefore illegal. But now we're seeing that what was illegal back then has only been magnified, and now it's being used as part of the genocide. You have an engineered starvation campaign, and our countries are complicit in it. And we're supposed to sit by and watch every day people not only being bombed, dismembered, disemboweled, beheaded, but now starved to death, babies starved to death. So the Handala is sailing to break this siege. And yes, we are carrying humanitarian aid, but of course, I'm sure everyone listening realizes our small boat is not going to carry nowhere near the amount of aid needed. But what we are saying is that nobody should be respecting this blockade. Israel has created an extermination camp that we need to break down in order to be able to reach the people of Gaza. And we are going to continue doing that. You mentioned some voices of Thiago Avila, who was on the boat that went a month before this one and was illegally attacked by Israel. And we have this one. Before that, even, we tried to send another boat that Israel bombed in European waters. We have been trying to break the siege, and specifically the naval blockade, by sailing boats since 2008. And it is just outrageous and unacceptable that the world has known for this long what Israel is doing to the Palestinian people, and we've allowed them to get away with it. We've allowed our government to enable it and to participate in it, and that's just not a world that we accept, those of us activists who are aboard the Handala, and the millions and millions of people who are supporting us around the world. We don't want a world where we are made to just watch an extermination campaign and be told that there's nothing we can do about it.
For those of you just tuning in, I am speaking to Hawada Araf, who is currently on the Handala, Freedom Flotilla, making its way towards Palestine to, you know, in an effort to break the blockade. Listening to you talk, you know, as an organizer, then it sounds like, yeah, I mean, yes, your target is Israel, but really your target is all of the other organizations, folks, countries, institutions, etc., that actually would have the power to send, like, if everybody sent in the ships that they have access to and loaded it with aid, what could Israel do? Bomb everybody? Turn all of the ships around? There'd be nothing that folks can do. And I think that's part of the thing that's frustrating for so many folks.
Absolutely. We do invite, and we have been telling people to come with us. It doesn't have to be only us. In fact, some of the larger organizations that carry out humanitarian aid, they have a lot more resources than we do. Again, we're just average civilians who fundraise, who, you know, contribute from our own funds and take from our own time. This is not work that we do. No one's paid to do this. But we need to do this at the same time that we are trying to convince others who do have more resources, and specifically really our governments. Organizations can do this in a different way. They can join us. And yes, it would be active rejection of Israel's control over Gaza. We don't need to be sitting and waiting until Israel decides it's going to let in humanitarian aid. But the countries that are really complicit in imposing the siege, just to give you an example, a lot of the states around the Mediterranean, the countries around the Mediterranean, through the years that we have been engaged in this form of direct action confrontation of Israel's illegal blockade, we have been stopped by the states themselves, like Cyprus, Greece, Turkey. They work with Israel to not even let us launch our boats. And that is, you know, not only are they not breaking the blockade themselves, they are actually working with Israel to stop others from doing it. And that, again, that is not something we accept. And so the people who are on this are sending a strong message to their own governments, highlighting the complicity of their own governments, and working with civil society organizations to kind of create that awareness and mobilize the force that is needed for change. And let me just end this one point by saying, yes, we want humanitarian organizations to mobilize, to put their aid on ships and go, but it must be stressed that it's not only about getting in the aid. Of course, now it is, when you see images of emaciated babies, children every day, even adults. The journalists in Gaza aren't even able to do their jobs anymore. They can't stand, they're too weak, their people are dropping. The need is great, but Palestinians need their freedom, and that's what they're calling for. They're not calling for they don't want to just live on aid. So it's not just about delivering the aid. It's about challenging Israel's illegal control and its decades-long occupation and colonization and apartheid policies that have left Palestinians in need of aid. That's why when people ask us, well, you know, is your aid only symbolic? No, we are carrying life-saving aid. We are carrying baby formula. We are carrying food that will save people's lives, but nowhere near what the people need, because we're sailing not just to deliver aid, but to break an illegal blockade so the Palestinian people control their own waters, control what gets in and out, and can be free, which no Palestinian has known for their entire lives.
What I think, I mean, you touched on it briefly, but I do think it's important. I've got about 5.5 minutes left with you, but I do think it's important to talk in more detail about the ways in which Israel has attacked the last two flotillas that have set sail. So I want to actually start with the Conscience. Can you talk about what happened to the Conscience in May of this year?
Yes. So the conscience was going to launch in May of 2025, of course. And we had not really announced that one ahead of time because we know that states have worked with Israel to stop. And we were trying to avoid this bureaucratic sabotage where the state with the Malta itself would not allow us to leave port. And therefore, we were quiet on that one, though we had gathered in Malta. We had nearly 70 civilians from 21 countries, I believe. And they were the night before, they were set to board the Conscience ship, carrying even more aid. The Conscience had come from North Africa, and it had 18 civilians aboard already with some of the aid. We were going to board it with more aid and more civilians the night before it was bombed by an Israeli drone that launched two missiles to the front of the ship, damaging it, putting it out of order. And it could have seriously, it did harm four of the civilians that were on board. It did injure them, but it could have been a lot worse. And what is outrageous about is, I mean, Israel bombing a civilian vessel carrying humanitarian aid is outrageous enough. But the fact that this Israel traveled 2,000 kilometers from anywhere near, like, Malta to Israel is about 2,000 kilometers. We weren't anywhere near Israeli waters or even Palestinian waters to attack a civilian vessel and to have Europe, no European state, say anything. Malta actually treated us as if we were the criminals. It would not let the ship come into port after it was bombed so that the people on board who were traumatized, attacked, and injured can get off this ship so that we can do a full investigation, so that we could start to repair the ship. It did not allow any of that and did not condemn or criticize or threaten or sanction Israel in any way. Same goes for the rest of Europe. And again, Israel had violated European airspace to send its plane and its drones and European waters that it carried out this attack in. But it's important to realize, and I'll talk about the Madeleine in a minute, that the Conscience was ship number 35. I mentioned that we've been sailing since 2008. The most serious attack on the Freedom Flotilla was in 2010, when we had a flotilla of seven ships carrying 10,000 tons of aid, and we had 700 people on board from about 36 different countries. Israel launched a lethal military assault on that flotilla, and it killed 9 of our volunteers on the spot, and one of our volunteers was seriously injured, lay in coma for 4 years, and then he passed. And it injured dozens and dozens of others, and it abducted everybody from international waters. All 700 volunteers were abducted, forcefully taken, of course, against their will, into Israel, jailed, and then eventually all deported. These acts always happen in international waters where Israel does not have jurisdiction, where it is attacking peaceful vessels that constitute no threat to Israel or its armed forces. And in a lot of cases, they are carrying humanitarian aid destined for the people of Gaza. And the international community has not done anything about it, not sanctioned Israel for it, not criticized Israel for it. The Madeleine, which was attacked last month, was flying the flag of the United Kingdom, which meant that that vessel was the sovereign territory of the United Kingdom, that Israel attacked it in international waters and abducted the civilians on board. It is the responsibility of the United Kingdom to protect that vessel and to protest when a rogue country like Israel violates its sovereignty in the way that it did. But the United Kingdom said nothing. We reached out to them when the Madeleine at sea before Israel attacked. They did nothing. And after Israel attacked and pirated that ship and abducted everybody on board, still the UK is silent and continues to be silent. The Handala also flies the UK flag, and we have put out numerous messages to the United Kingdom to protect this vessel and to demand that Israel not touch the Handala and to allow safe passage so that we can reach Gaza and the people of Gaza.
You've been listening to Law and Disorder, a podcast where we expose the cracks in our system, agitate for resistance, and collectively build a new world in which all of us can thrive. That's it for this episode, family. You can find more information about topics and guests in this episode's show notes. Law and Disorder is produced at KPFA. That's listener-supported radio on the Pacifica Network. The show is produced by Jesse Strauss and hosted by me, Kat Brooks. Our theme music was composed by Steve Raskin of Fort Knox 5. If you like what you heard, please follow us on social media at Law and Dis, that's D-I-S, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Feel free to holler at us about something you heard or send us a show idea at lawanddisorder@kpfa.org. You can also find our content live at 8 a.m. weekdays on KPFA. That's 94.1 FM in the Bay Area. Our show and all of KPFA's programs are funded exclusively by you, the listener. And if you're in a position to support us, please donate today at kpfa.org. Take care of yourself and take care of each other. We all we got, fam.